Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. It's officially called the European Seagull Screeching Contest.
Nice.
It's been going on for 4 years, and this year a 9-year-old won it. Let's listen to some of the contestants. That's a person.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
I ducked.
Yeah, that was it.
I covered my french fries.
Yeah. Incoming!
That was the first girl right there. There was just watching these vocals on the video is amazing, too.
Did you say first girl or first goal?
All right. The second one here.
Nah.
Nope.
What does that sound like? That's not a...
The crow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
it's not a
seagull.
Get the wrong damn bird, you boob.
Crow.
Yeah, no.
So far, number one was good.
Yeah, number one's still the best.
Number one's in the lead.
Yeah, accurate.
I've heard that. That's when they're calling the rest over, like, hey, I found food. Here we go.
Yeah, they're calling the other ones
they,
over.
They stand there, they arch their back, and their head goes up, and then that mouth goes, wah. Yep.
Mwah.
And last but not least.
That's pretty good.
Oh, the crowd loves it.
I like the last one.
Good heavens.
But I already know that the last one won.
Oh, that's the person won?
Yeah.
Nice. That looks very accurate.
9-year-old kid.
Yep.
And then dressed like a seagull.
And then later on, he crept in a windshield. Devin, stop that.
But, you know, watching it, I thought the kid who won. But listening to it, I almost think that it's between the first lady and that kid who won.
Yeah. They should have a go off.
Oh, man.
This is the first one?
That's the first girl there.
Yeah. I think that one should have won.
Yeah, I can picture like a Beach Boys song starting after that. You know?
Wouldn't it be nice? Can you play it again? How do you do that?
That sounds just like a bird.
You know what it sounds like when I choked on a lifesaver?
That's why they have the hole in them, so you can't choke.
Let's be trying to breathe. Are you okay?
AJ, you okay? AJ? What? What are you trying to say, AJ? What? How are you making that sound? That was Ruth.
Wow.
I thought someone stepped on a dog's foot.
That's pretty good.
That was close. Wow. Did you want that kind of goal?
Hold on. We'll go around the room. Okay. Ruth can start because she's clearly the best. Hold
on.
Let me get some ocean sounds here if we have
it. Sit down for this one. Okay.
There.
Wow. That was good.
I sound like an old drunk lady.
You're yelling at this.
Ma? Ma? How about you?
I'm going to try and go, like, inhale. Nope, that's more like a pig. I don't know. I think I might have burned my voice out.
Okay, here's mine. Hey, give me a fries!
That's exactly what they're saying, by the way.
Give me a fries, sure. Damn it! Give me all your food, I'll crap on your car! Give me that salami sandwich!
Justin?
Mine?
Oh.
Yeah. I think
perfect.
Justin may have that one.
I closed my eyes. I saw
between
it.
Justin and Ruth.
I saw it. I didn't study.
Mm. Is there an animal that you can do?
A cow?
I don't think that's a cow.
No, sorry. Mm. More like a bull. This whole thing is bull. No.
Chicken? No.
Chicken.
Oh, hold on. That's not bad. Okay, hold on.
Excuse me?
See, now you do the chicken. That's pretty good.
Hang on. It fits right. It
Hang
blends
on.
Right
I got
in.
An egg. Clean up an aisle three.
Man says he ran over alligator to save neighbor trapped in its jaws.
That's effective.
In studio, comedian Vince Barry.
Morning.
Tribe member Bedelia. Good morning.
Morning.
Let's go right to the audio.
On Friday night, the ride home for Walter Rutter into his quarry neighborhood off Immokalee Road in Collier County is a night he says he will never forget.
We're driving, and we saw a man laying on the ground, waving his arm. We pulled over, and I got out of the car and saw that an alligator had him by the leg.
The man he found lying in the road was his neighbor and friend, Rick Fingerette. Rutter says Rick begged him to run the gator over, hoping it would release its jaws from around his leg.
Absolutely would not let go. He was dragging
him. All right. You know, this was the story that cemented me never living in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Noah's near a pond. Yep.
I always thought to myself, I'm not going to ever move to Florida.
Right.
But this one, never.
Sealed it.
Never.
You're
out walking your dogs, and all of a sudden you're some monster's food, and
exactly.
You're being dragged into a pond.
Right. Kind of a nightmare.
America's Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So we got our loose pants and flip-flops comes right off.
An 11-foot alligator. You're just walking down the street,
yep.
And now you're in this thing's mouth being dragged into the water.
Yeah, and they showed it in the news story.
Yeah.
That was a big mofo.
11 feet.
Yeah. Thick. I mean, like, wide. like this is like, you don't want to mess with this ever.
No.
Yeah, this wasn't Wally Gator in any way, shape, or form.
This guy's flailing his arms.
Right.
I guess that was good because he got the neighbor to stop. But,
right.
Man, I'd be punching that thing in the head and,
yeah,
like, cutting my hands trying
it, yeah.
to open that
what
mouth.
If we fed Captain Kirk to him?
There's a thought.
Right. Distraction. Here's Captain Kirk.
Somehow Kirk would survive that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the alligator's like, wait a minute. This is a Captain Kirk doll wrapped in honey and...
spot. Where is the big...
Captain's
list?
Log.
Captain's Log. Stardate. Florida. I'm somehow transported into an alligator's mouth. I'm still wearing a pink dress. Bar rockets and rolled in honey. And now there's a man whose leg is being chewed apart by an alligator. I... God to save him in some way, shape, or form. Perhaps I can do the Klingon death grip. No, it's got my...
I'm in the belly of the alligator.
It's awfully dark in here. It's not funny. Spock.
Be more scary.
Spock. For God's sake, scary. Hey, you Scottish jerk.
That's true. That's the one out he has. He could get beamed out of this alligator stomach.
If he has a tricorder.
Yeah.
And now does the alligator come up in space with him?
Oh.
Now they've got a bigger problem. They've got an alligator.
Oh, that's
in space.
Terrible.
That would
exactly.
be a problem.
Right.
All right, back to this guy.
Absolutely would not let go. He was dragging him into the pond.
It worked. The animal eventually set Rick free from its grasp and returned to the water. Walter says FWC officers...
So did you hear what happened here? This guy's walking his dogs. He gets grabbed by an alligator. He's getting dragged to the pond.
Right.
He's about to be alligator food.
Yes.
Alligator this thing's going to drown him and then eat him.
Right. It's like DoorDash for the alligator. Yes.
Yeah, you're minutes away.
Your man dash. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's not DoorDash. He went and
this
he got
takeout.
His own food.
Your takeout.
This is takeout.
Right, right. Did he leave a tip in a little tip jar?
Yeah. It's like he went to the market.
Right. Get a dog a five. Here you go.
He was probably, the alligator's probably going after the dogs,
right.
And this guy said no.
Maybe kicked it at the alligator, and the alligator said, okay, this works.
Okay, I'll take a leg.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Right. Alligator saw two dogs and then saw a bigger meal.
Exactly.
The guy
right.
is much bigger.
You so know what? I don't want the sides. I want the main yeah. meal right there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the main course.
And that's the thing. It's also, this alligator got run over and left, walked by its own power back to the pond.
Yeah.
And did these dogs just run away? Where are the dogs barking at the alligator
trying to
help their owner?
We missed a little bit there. So this guy gets grabbed and he starts getting dragged. The dogs never leave his side. They're barking the whole time.
Okay.
They don't know what to do.
Right, yeah.
They're not trained in this.
I was barking at bark.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. What am I going to do? Bite this giant belt?
Yeah, they can't bite
it. Yeah, right. It's like a big thing of elbow skin.
And then the neighbor pulls up. He doesn't know what to do. The guy who's in the alligator's mouth says, run it over.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's got to do everything.
He's got to do everything.
If this idiot's not helping, run him over.
Yeah.
That's Florida for you,
though. Take the vehicle.
Like, shoot it.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, Chef Jim Long Island. How you guys doing?
Hey, good. You're on.
Recipe for alligator?
if you're ever in this situation and you can remember this, If you stick your fingers in the alligator's nose so it can't breathe, it will open its mouth.
Yeah, but then you got alligator snot in your fingers. Yeah. I'm like, no.
How do you know this?
But I learned this when I was a kid doing remembered it from a tour of an alligator farm.
All right, stick your fingers in
its
nose.
That was one of the things the instructor said. If you ever get into a situation with an alligator, stick your fingers in its nose. It will open its mouth.
You do the Mo Howard on it. Come here, big dummy. Oh, Mo, it's an accident.
They poke him in the eyes.
It's one of those stupid things you remember.
Well, so it won't breathe through its mouth.
Right.
Well, it will. If you stick your fingers in its nose, it'll have to open its mouth.
Opens to breathe.
It's exactly. You're suffocating.
Right. So it becomes a mouth breather.
Yes.
It becomes like one of your best friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
A mouth breather.
See, like if you stuck your finger up my nose, right. I wouldn't open it to be breathing. I'd be like, that's gross.
Right.
Get your finger out of there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Good day, guys.
All right. Thank you. See, now if this guy knew that, he wouldn't need the car to run over
exactly
the alligator.
Exactly right. Just go, boop, right there. Alligator goes, hey, I can't breathe
I think
breathe
you have
right
to
now.
Shove multiple fingers up both nostrils.
Yeah.
To fit, yeah, that one fist in each
what
nostril.
What kind of car was it?
Yes, I mean, that's kind of a big nostril, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It had to be something big if you're running over an alligator.
Right.
It
wasn't a Prius.
Yeah,
imagine
right?
if the guy showed up in a Prius,
tones it,
and he can't pull up.
No,
all
no, no. A smart car.
A smart car.
Yeah. And it flips over.
Then he eats the car, too.
No, a Tesla hits it, explodes. Boom.
It's on top of the alligator as it goes back into the pond.
Right.
I'd be
worried about getting hit. Wouldn't the guy roll over the alligator and maybe hit you, too?
Well, no, you got to run over the other part of the alligator. Yeah. Not the part, not the mouth part.
Yeah, run over the body.
Yeah, it was like, hey, thanks. You just beat it down like a cutlet.
Yeah. Walter like says a big FWC bump. Officers later removed the gator from the pond. Rick was taken to the hospital.
Alarming is what I would say.
Meanwhile, this guy, I want to see what he looks like.
He looks like Kit from Knight Rider, that red speaker. Michael, you're being treated by an alligator, Michael.
Right, it's the car talking.
Right.
Meanwhile, FWC says this is a reminder that gator mating season is starting soon. So if you come across one, keep a safe distance, always keep your pets leashed, and never feed or approach the alligators that you see.
I asked him how severe his injuries were. He tells me that Rick is going to be okay, so we'll take his word for it. FWC tells me that it contracted some trappers to come out on Friday night. They have safely grabbed the gator and safely relocated it.
They relocated it?
Relocated it.
Right. I went to a retirement home instead.
Relocated it.
Right. Yeah, we put it in a different pond down the street.
Right, yeah. Somebody else in some other town
they
has to
walk over here again. We're
apparently
good.
Aroused mating season hungry alligator.
I was going to say, hey, what does that got to do with the mating season?
Yeah. Now, is he trying to mate with the guy?
No.
Well, maybe.
The newscaster added the confusion by saying it was mating season because then it sounded like the thing was going after him, not just for food.
Well, you know,
but
after sex, you get horny, you get hungry.
Yeah.
What would they look like? Half human, half alligator.
Wouldn't that be the worst? So, you get pulled in, you think you're going to be devoured.
Yep.
And first it has sex with you.
Yes. Right.
Hey, then it
oh, that'd
you.
Be terrible.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Mm.
Wally Gator, no. Yeah. That's when you get stick in my nostrils.
Maybe he had a date and he was getting dinner to prepare for his date.
Oh, that's what it was. He had a date with a female crocodile.
Right. I go for some.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mac roast. Yeah.
He is the most popular alligator in the pond.
Right. Put some Teddy Pendergrass on. Baby. Light some candles.
No, patchouli oil.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Tell
that's
us about this.
You gave that way too much thought.
I'm just thinking about old school. What?
Have you used it?
Petroleum oil?
Yeah.
No, but I used to have a guy that used to come in the bar and he would dump it on his body and it was the worst thing. Right. I could smell him coming for a mile away, so I always have his drink ready because I could smell him.
You can drink this outside.
In the history of patchouli, no one has ever once worn a little patchouli.
You don't wear it,
you wear all of it.
You can do like a little dab.
Yeah.
And no, it was horrible.
Every head shop smells like that.
Right.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
Yep. Clothes, cigarettes, and patchouli oil.
The whole town of Northampton, Massachusetts smells like that.
That's true.
So if that guy smelled like that, the neighbor would probably say, yeah.
Thank you, alligator.
See ya.
Right.
Yeah, but
the alligator says it's a little too much.
Right.
Spit the alligator like, puh, right. puh, puh, puh.
Patchouli oil, puh.
Robin Cheshire.
Hey, I went to college in Palm Bay down in Florida, and there, behind my buddy's house, there was a alligator in the pond. So we decided to try to catch him one night. So we went to Winn-Dixie and got some gristle, a shark hook, hooked him on a rope, threw it out there. We used to feed him bagels and stuff from where I worked. So he was used to us feeding him. So he came up, grabbed that. We hooked him. We thought he was like a five, six foot long alligator. I wanted to wrestle him.
Yeah.
Pulled him up on land, 9 feet, over 9 feet long, start chasing us. We had to jump a chain link fence to get away from the damn thing. We find out later that they can climb chain link.
Yeah, they can jump them too. Oh. They can jump. Yeah.
Really?
They can jump chain link fence. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I came face to face with one.
That's horrifying.
I sent out the guys from Alligator Alley, which is where you can go learn about them. That's where we learned about.
That's where I went. Yeah.
Alligator Alley.
There was a place. There was a place. And I went to my parents, and I'm looking at the alligator. It was a Georgia alligator. And I'm maybe.
How'd you know?
Because it said, accent? It said Georgia alligator. How you doing?
Had a peach in its mouth?
Right, exactly.
They teach you how to talk to the alligators. You can call them. So we were in New Orleans. I was there with my cousins. We were on an airboat ride. And it's right at the end of the season, and they're going to go hibernate. And I'm calling this alligator. I'm on the bottom thing, and it's coming out. And the guy in the airboat's going, I've never seen an alligator come up to the boat like this. And he's coming and coming and coming. And we had to move.
And this is the airboat guy.
They teach you how to wrestle them, how to talk to them. Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
How do you talk to them?
Don't eat me! Carefully!
A guttural thing. You go, it's like this. Here, I'll do it. You make that noise, they'll come right up to you.
That's the same sound they make when they're swallowing you.
Yeah, it's like a swallowing noise. It's a noise you make like you're swallowing. It's pretty wild.
Wait, hey, shoo.
Yeah, I made that noise at 2 a.m. after going to the bar. That's a...
Right, yeah. My cat does it before a hairball comes out.
Wow. Put a pizza in front of me and I'll make that sound.
Yours more of a gulp, gulp, gulp.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, thank you. That is
a
redneck story.
Damn, man, damn. Yeah, they can jump.
They can jump.
They can jump.
Wow.
Because I was looking right at it, and it was like the space of a chain link fence between myself and the snout of this big mofo. And I just happened to glance up, and it said, don't go by fence. Alligators can jump over fences. They can go.
It's a good time to read it.
Yes. Yes. And I just backed away slowly.
The sign should have been bigger for you. Oh, my God.
The worst would have been as you're being dragged to the pond in the mouth, you're reading the sign.
Oh, that's what I know. Oh, yeah. I didn't know you guys could jump. That's good to know. That's good to know. You let go of me now. I mean, you have to be awesome. No, no, really. Let me go.
Alicia and Cromwell.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey,
good morning.
So, all right, so I live in Cromwell. I live on a little family farm with my in-laws, my husband. So I went for my normal run. I did a couple miles. It was probably 100 degrees. I came back in, pulled it back into the driveway. I had, my tank top on, my shorts, my sneakers off, whatever. My mother-in-law's out in the field screaming, Alicia, Alicia, come on, come on. I had a freaking cow calf, and I was barefoot. It was my mother-in-law. We had no idea what we were doing. My father-in-law and my husband were way up, long gone, working on a service call. And my brother-in-law's out there. He's videotaping the entire thing. By the end of the day, it was me, my mother-in-law and myself covered in cow poop, placenta, blood, you name it. But, hey, we got that calf out right on one of the main streets of Cromwell. Everybody driving by could see everything going on. Hey.
Come on, we're going calving.
That's...
We're going calving. Yeah. Come on. Yo. Don't put your shoes on. Don't worry about it. Come on, go calving. Ah, you just hold yourself over in the parking lot.
Bring the kids. They need to learn about nature.
You need a pedicure.
How was the veal?
And yes, that we definitely did. It was awesome.
That's a great story.
Oh. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, thank you. You're in the running.
It came from behind me.
Roger Daltrey tickets.
Wow.
Gary in Torrington.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey.
Come on,
good.
Dude.
How you doing?
Doing good. Well, I was down in South Carolina. I was at my mom's place, and she had a place on the lake. And so I walked out onto her dock, and all of a sudden I hear this weird, like, country music, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I look down the lake, and I see this broken-down old houseboat floating by with, like, this big megaphone playing country music, waving a rebel flag.
That was the country version of Love Boat. It's a Love love boat. So we'll be making another run.
Everybody's their cousin on the love boat.
That would be a great show. I'd watch that.
A love boat with just cousins?
Hillbilly love boat.
Wait, see what goes on beyond deck.
They all kind of look alike.
Right. This is my friend. His name is Walleye.
They're all named Bubba.
Right. This here is Bubba and Bubba 2, Bubba 1.
This is my brother Daryl.
Right.
My other brother Daryl.
You guys see me, a piece of corn.
The SS
that one,
deliverance.
That one tooth.
Right, the corn eating contest.
Pig corn, we marry him.
No, they can't eat corn because they have to eat on the sides.
Right, that's it. Yeah, Uncle Gummy.
Right, the cream of corn
Gummy.
Eating contest.
Uncle Gummy. He's been working on a piece of corn for 2 weeks now. He just keeps reheating and rebuttering.
He's
just keeps
gumming that thing.
Yeah, but he got 3 kernels last week.
All right,
thank
you.
I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it.
Wow. You are in the running.
That's some hillbilly stuff.
Yeah. There should be a show, Hillbilly Love Boat, damn it.
Hillbilly Love Boat.
Come on, man.
How is that not a reality
it's
show?
Come on, people. It's got 2 things we love.
I could be the captain.
Right?
Yes, it would be like below deck.
You'll be the captain activity Bedelia. Director. She'll be the activity director.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Right. Oh, fun director.
Right, today we're going to try and stand up.
What kind of games would you have on the ship?
I would have, like, who has the most teeth.
Nice.
Okay. Right.
Like roll call. Good.
When was the last time you slept with your cousin?
Right.
All right. Right. Fun game.
Word association.
Show and tell.
Exactly right, yeah.
See what they know with a thesaurus.
Right. And guess what's on my breath?
Bedelia told me a story in the car about when she owned the bar and people were going bobbing for apples, but they didn't use apples. They used...
I'll let you tell it.
Realistic looking, well, let's say sex toys.
Oh, okay.
Bobbing for sex toys.
So bobbing for wieners.
But I want you to tell this part because she bought one that had a suction cup on it, you see, and stuck it to the bottom of the apple bobbin barrel. And then go ahead, Bedelia. What happened? Who was the? Explain what the woman that was trying to get this off the bottom.
Use her teeth.
Okay, she had no front teeth.
Oh,
so she kept diving into the barrel. She was a little thing, not a short person, but she was like maybe like 4'7", 4'8".
Yeah.
So she keeps diving in there to get the $100, and I'm laughing because she can't get it off because it's suction cup down.
Yeah, yeah, it's on the
so thing. And she had no front teeth, so she's like the corn thing. She's trying to chew it from the side of her mouth to try to pull it out, and she couldn't. And all of a sudden, she's down there for so long, and all you see were little tiny feet like this at the top of the barrel. And
it's like a bad Keebler elf.
It was terrible.
I got to tell you, there's a reality show there, a cruise ship. The most hillbilly cruise ship. Like,
oh,
you pull this thing out of mothballs.
Oh, I can give you a million things we can do on the cruise ship. I'm the activity director.
All right. It's the Florida Games.
Yep, everything.
With hillbillies.
On the water.
Yeah.
Where's development? I'm telling you.
We're asking you to call in your hillbilly moment, 203-882-9757. Everybody on gets in the running for... Those aren't handcuffs you're hearing. Roger Daltrey tickets. 203-882-9757. Red on the road.
Morning, guys. We're on a roll today.
Yeah.
Especially
right.
AJ firing on all 9 cylinders there.
Yeah. Supposed to be 8.
Exactly. So your special guest today reminded me of a story out in Portland. Me and a buddy of mine were out wheeling. And as you do, you get stuck in the mud somewhere.
Right.
You know, no one's with us to pull us out. No winch. Really not a good spot. So we're looking around. How can we do this? And we find a clipboard behind the seat. And this truck was up to the axles. We dug the truck out with a clipboard.
There you go.
And it worked.
Wow.
An improvised shovel. That's right.
Wow.
It took a while, but, you know, besides, you know, fixing cars with duct tape and... You know, riding the tractor around the town. Like, those are normal, everyday things. But.
Hey, when you tape a flashlight to the front of your car. I've done that.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Digging a Jeep out with a clipboard. That's definitely makes the list.
That's very hillbilly.
You're
yes.
in the running.
Very, very.
Chef Jim. Long Island.
Hey, guys. Hey. How you doing?
What's up?
Good, thanks. I lived in South Carolina for 2 years a while back.
Uh-oh.
And all the locals, they had this little competition. I forget what it was called, but they would go out in the streams and in the mud puddles and the ponds and fish for catfish using either their foot or their arm.
I've heard of this catfish.
In the hole. Noodling.
Yeah, noodling. That's a noodling.
Yeah. They use their toenails to spear them?
They put their hand or their toes in the water. They, like, wiggle them.
And then they grab them.
There was a TV show. Yeah. It was Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
Yeah.
Hillbilly Hand Fishing.
Hillbilly than that, man.
That's right.
I've done that before. You go in the logs underneath.
But then you
pull them out.
Then you have a catfish that tastes like feet. I found a ring of mine.
And the locals would have a competition like every month or whatever during the season in the bars. It was like the big thing. They would come in and be like, oh, I got this one. I got that one. And they loved it. It was crazy to watch, but they loved it.
You can take it off now.
Right. So if you have longer toes, does that give you an advantage?
I would think, right? Because you can make them wiggle more. You can actually grab them.
Are you grabbing them with your feet?
I think they find the hole and they just shove it in there and the fish would instinctively grab it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So whatever you...
Yeah, you're the bait.
Okay.
Yeah, but they got teeth, though.
These are, first of all, you're fishing with your hands and your feet.
Yeah, but they're hillbilly fish, so they don't really have any teeth.
Yeah, like one tooth.
They're toothless.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's right.
That's Uncle Gummy in the water. Wow.
Wow, that's hillbilly.
That's very hillbilly. But there was a TV show.
It absolutely is. It's actually fun to watch.
Yep.
Sure. All right, have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you.
You got any recipes for the catfish afterwards?
Yeah, remove all the fingernails and toenails.
Right,
and then
exactly.
I wouldn't stick my feet in the water.
No, I don't know what's in there.
Hoping that something latches onto it.
Exactly. I try to avoid
that. And
then
I'm going to eat that.
Yeah, no, see, I don't put my feet in any water I can't see the bottom of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why pools are cool and baths.
So when they go noodling, can they see their feet? Or they
it's pretty dark.
Yeah, it's like nasty.
And there's snakes and alligators and stuff in there, too.
Exactly, yeah.
And you got to go underneath a log and pull them out.
Yeah. I mean,
with your hands.
There's got to be some kind of like outtakes from that TV show.
I have a girlfriend that she's from Mississippi, and she has a huge scar from being bit by a catfish.
Really?
Bit by a catfish?
Yeah, because she was noodling.
Right.
I don't know if she cut her, if it was bit, or if she cut it on the log.
Probably on the log, yeah.
So, this
catfish had a knife.
it
was in the Bronx.
Yeah, it was a tough catfish.
Oh, they're so disgusting. I don't like those things.
Yeah. They don't taste very good either.
No. They're bottom feeders.
Yeah, you got to wash. You got to clean them really well.
Paul in Bridgeport.
Yeah, you guys were talking about toothless. That's what I had a toothache in. So me and my friend got drunk, and he took a pair of pliers and just yanked it out for me.
Okay. Hillbilly barber.
That is a hillbilly
barber. Hillbilly dentist.
Yeah, well, barber. AJ goes to the barber to have his teeth pulled.
In the 1800s.
Have you seen my barber?
Hey, that's how they did in the old days, right?
Actually, in the medieval times, your barber was your dentist. He was everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did everything.
Father Joe, right? Oh. Hey, that's my story.
Yep.
Okay, so you had a tooth pulled by a friend.
Yeah, we just got drunk, and he said, Paul, I'm tired of hearing you complain.
He used a pliers, right, or vice grip?
Pulled it out.
When you were a kid, did you ever tie a string to a loose tooth and then close the door?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I did it.
Yep.
For sure.
Even better, the back of my dad's back bumper.
And then you wind up chickening out, and you don't slam the door hard enough, so now your tooth hurts even more.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. You go, ow, and you inhale the tooth and the rope.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks. I know. Thank you.
That was the Chaz and AJ Two Roads Road to Ruin call of the day.
That was worst case scenario.
Well, I think the real hillbilly moment is finding that AJ goes to the barber to get his teeth cleaned.
Exactly. See?
Yeah, there's your first.
Hey, he's got the best comb. You know that barbicide stuff works great. Yeah,
why is there a tooth floating in that jar with the combs?
Because I'm waiting for the tooth fairy. Pay for the haircut.
Anthony in Brantford.
Hey, good morning, folks.
Hey.
Morning.
Good morning.
Back in high school days, we got invited to a keg party, a bunch of us. And what we did in order to arrive is we got an old couch. We attached wheels to the bottom of it. Somebody had a pickup truck. We tied it together with the rope off of the back of the pickup truck. We had a keg in the middle of two people that were sitting in the couch, and most of the rest of the people were in the back of the truck.
Right, you had the beer.
And that's
keg.
How we pulled into the keg party.
instead of the Bob and Izer, the beer and Izer.
That's a hell of an entrance, too.
Yes, that is an entrance.
It is, arriving style.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was. All right, fellas and girls, have a good day.
Thank you. All right, call
it's
in
a hillbilly
your
limo.
Hillbilly yes. moment, 203-882-9757. I don't even think you needed wheels on that
just
couch.
Drag it. Yeah, just drag it. Yeah. Actually, the best way is to sit it on top of a car hood and go through a field. This way it slides like a big bobsled.
Right. Then do donuts.
Do you ever see those videos where the guys do that?
No, that could be a hillbilly rodeo game.
It could be.
You tie the couch to the back of the truck.
Nice.
You put six or seven people on the couch, and the last one on the couch is the hillbilly cowboy champion.
Crack the couch whip.
You need a Chaz and AJ TV channel to get all this stuff done.
Right. I love it.
And everybody's wearing like helmets and like padding and like bubble wrap.
No, that's I was just no, that's fun being a it. Girl. Stop it.
Forgive me.
Yeah, and we're not going to clear the field of the rocks.
Okay, fine. Right.
Leave the rocks. Leave it. They're hazards.
Fine. I'll be a baby.
I'll do some little divots or something in there. Like,
right.
You hit it and
landmines.
Jump off the couch.
Exactly.
Not landmines. No.
Johnny Rock from East Haven.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning, Johnny Rock.
I go to Vermont to see my buddy Mikey. He's way up, like 60 miles from Canada, living in the trailer. I go see him, and he's got a pellet stove cranking. He's got his wood stove absolutely blaring. It's about 90 degrees in his camper. And I look, he's got the ceiling fan going. He's got two pairs of jeans on hangers going one way and two shirts on the other. He's like, wow, I'm just doing my laundry.
That's a dryer, yeah. That's a dryer. Was he that or tied to the aerial of the car and drive around the block a couple times?
I'm doing my laundry, what?
I've had that come up with some creative ways to dry pants.
Yeah, not for nothing, but then they can shrink.
Yeah, like I'm wearing these tonight.
Yeah, I got a date.
Where's the fan? Where's the heater? Right. Yeah. All right, that's hillbilly.
He lived in an apartment that had fixed heating, so you couldn't turn the heat up. It was cold, really cold in Vermont. So he would take a Ziploc bag and fill it with ice and put a thumbtack and pack his thermostat in ice to get the heat to go on. That's another good one.
That's a MacGyver way to get the heat going.
Very genius. I'm going to write that down.
I can go all day.
I'm going to write that down. You see my house?
Bedelia likes that one.
Yeah, she's writing it down, too.
All right. Thank you, Johnny Rock.
Oh, you got it.
All right.
If you think about it, you put three pairs of pants on that one fan and just have them swinging.
Put it on the ceiling fan.
Exactly.
So what did he have? He had two pants and two shirts.
Right, two pants, two shirts.
Probably bounced them out.
Right.
What about the underwears?
I don't wear underwears. Unfurnished basement.
Derek in Barkhamsted.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
All right. Yeah, I had a nuisance box in my yard, and it did something pretty bad.
Did he say nuisance fox or fox?
I think he said fox.
Fox.
Fox. A nuisance fox.
Oh, okay.
Right. And it did something really bad. So,
hey, did you hear these animal lovers calling earlier?
Just
I don't think you want to
watch yourself.
I have night vision cameras, and I have night vision goggles. So I stayed up for two nights. And I took care of the fox. I win. No more fox.
You took care of it.
That's not very hillbilly.
Food.
Hillbilly, you put beer bottles on.
Right.
Beer
gave it a job,
eyes.
A house.
Right. I named it.
Some work training.
I'm going to call you buddy.
Right.
That's a lovely story.
Yeah. So that fox took out a family pet. So I took out the fox.
Gotcha.
I win. Yeah. Redemption. Revenge.
Eye for an eye.
Now I'm chasing squirrels on my porch, on my deck with my remote control truck.
This guy's
chasing
killed
the
more
squirrels
than
off my.
See, that's more redneck chasing the squirrels or RC
RC
truck.
Cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more redneck.
Yeah, that's redneck.
Go with that one. Yeah.
On
now, if you could train a squirrel to get on one of those RC cars and ride it like a rodeo, the squirrel rodeo.
Viral video. Have like,
that'd be part of the redneck rodeo.
Redneck rodeo.
Pulling a skateboard. A little couch.
I love that.
Bye, nice. Fox. Bye bye, squirrel.
All right, Derek.
Okay, thank you.
Let's get him over to the microphone. Dick Culp.
Nope. Right over there.
Right there? Okay.
Okay, I'll take that one.
All right.
Well, how are you?
Hey! Good. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. All right, I love coming up here. I just don't come up here more than every other fourth year.
What are these? Who are these people with you?
Everybody here is from the Wise Men of Westport Weston. It is an organization primarily of people, professionals who have retired.
Successful people who share information?
Exactly.
Nice.
And share their time for important, important organizations, and they give back.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Our job is to keep them moving, keep them doing things, and to give them new experiences and to learn about what's going on.
So all these men and women here are rich?
We do a toy drive every year.
I'm doing one better. I'm adoptable.
Well, don't you remember your father's rich and your mother's good looking? Oh, no, that's right. Too old for you.
You know, the people who have been listening to this radio station for many, many years, and there are a lot of them, would love to hear just one story of maybe Stone Man or one of the original on-air personalities, some behind-the-scenes story.
Well, I could give you a few hundred of those if you want. Well, actually, Stone Man, his name was Joseph DeMeo. I worked with him at WAVZ. 13 Waves back in 1970. And he
that was
came
a big
over.
Top 40 AM That's station right. at the time. Right. It was modeled after WABC in New York.
That's correct. That's correct. And I'd come there from Detroit, and I'd met him there, and he was in the sales department, and we were working there. And when we launched WPLR, which, by the way, will be 53 years Monday.
Wow.
That we launched WPLR. Joe had gone over to WNHC, and he was selling, and he wanted to come over and work with us, and we wanted to bring him in. I was working with a new morning drive person, and we were doing promotional announcements for his new show. And this is where I really learned my lesson as a manager. Never have a new air personality in the production room doing promotional announcements for his new show while the person he's replacing is doing his show.
Oops.
In the next room, and all you have is glass between them.
Okay.
We're gonna write that one down right now.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah. And well, you said you wanted dumbass lessons.
Yeah, that's a dumbass lesson.
It has served
Make it
me well.
There you go.
Yeah. But here's the deal. So Joe was sitting with the gentleman who was on the air at the time, and he was just sort of hanging out. And Al and I were working on the promos, and we're not paying any attention. All of a sudden, the personality gets up. I'm sorry, Dick. I'm sorry. I can't do this. I can't do it. And he walks out in the middle of his show.
Oops.
Now, I think about this, and I say, well, it's my mistake because this was very insensitive. But the fact is, he's gone.
Right.
Right? And Joe is in there. And I said, Joe, can you
And he's a sales guy at this point.
Sales guy. Yeah. I had no idea. I said, can you play some music? Don't go on mic. Just play some music, and we'll track all the way out of the show. He says, I got that taken care of. He starts playing stuff, the most esoteric stuff you could imagine, and the phones start to melt. It was just great. And we discovered at that moment that he had a connection into the young radio listenership of New Haven that we had never realized. And then we sat down and we discussed how we could work that out. That was the beginning of Stone Man, and it actually was the result of poor management that created the opportunity.
Whatever it takes.
It's like one of those lab experiments that went wrong, but you ended up with Silly Putty.
Check it out.
Well, yeah.
Look at it this way. It had to be that way, because why would I make that up?
Right.
Right. But he went on to be the most remembered air Absolutely. Personality of WPLR history.
Yeah.
When I was 9, I used to talk into a microphone, into a guitar amp, pretending to be Stone Man.
Yes, yes. You're with Stone Man here on 99. And he would always end the show, saying something to the effect of, and remember, do whatever you want to do that you really want to do, but just make sure you don't get caught.
Right.
Well, it was basically setting up, he's saying, this is who I am.
Dick Colt, former general manager of WPLR, back when we were just putting the bricks in this place.
Yeah.
The first time I asked you to tell me a story, you said that you would get in your car
and you would listen to WPLR on the way home, and it was 6 o'clock, and Stone Man was coming on. If he put on Freebird or Stairway to Heaven, a long song, you knew he had time to party. You would turn the car around and come back.
Yes, I had to, because I wasn't too sure where we were
going. Oh, no, he's doing it. Turn around.
Well, I love the connection that we all still have as a family, all the people who have come through the door. And thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us all here today, because I wanted them to see the essence of radio as it should be. In every one of these radio stations here, there's a value set that connects with the listeners and keeps these stations and this organization relevant at a time when the challenges are really, really high, and you guys kill it.
Well, Kristen got us back on track, and she has really made this place a monster.
Absolutely.
Dick, what we really want is for you to bring them to the toy drive. Bring us to the toy drive, okay? All right, thank you, Dick.
Let's hear it
for Dick.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.